welcome back to another show of Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. And I have a great show. My host and I have a great show. And welcome back, by the way, Andy.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Of course, does it feel unusual now? I mean, you've gotten over here and you've been in the producer seat 1 week now. I figure it's hard to go back to just being on the microphone.
No, I'm really happy over here. There seems to be a lot of moving parts over there. That's just what's kind of throwing me off last week. You kind of, we had a live show last week, and unfortunately, I didn't push the right button, so we didn't record the show.
Oh, wow.
And so
it was really funny because before the show started, I said to Steve, I said, you know, there's really not much you can screw up other than not hitting the record button.
and
that's
that.
The one thing he managed not to do.
Hence a lot of moving parts. Okay. So that. So I like being over in this seat. Yes, Andy, as opposed to that. So appreciate that. But great show for you today. We have Victor Bergenzoli from, did I say that right, Victor?
Almost.
All right. Good.
Bergenzoli. Yeah.
All right. You say tomato, I say tomato, right?
Mm-hmm.
You say, no, wait. So from CEO and Chief Sales Officer from Dartfish, and we're a very exciting organization. We'll talk more briefly more about that. And also we have Mr. Greg Kearney from the Kiro Group.
Yep.
Sales performance and execution organization with a background in digital media that we'll be talking about there. So
absolutely.
Good. Well, with that, I think we're going to be talking a lot, again, around sales. This is Atlanta Sales Talk Radio, so we'll be hearing from them around their perspective on sales, selling. And gentlemen, as I go through the show, thinking about, as towards the end of the show, I'll ask this question. When you think of someone new coming into the world of sales, if someone was coming to you to ask for some counsel or some guidance, what kind of counsel would you give them? And so we'll talk about that as we come towards the end, but just think about that as we mull it over. So with that, Victor, if you could, share with us a little bit about Dartfish and, you know, your organization and, you know, your dual offices. You have global responsibility for Dartfish, and I know you're here in Georgia is headquarters for the U.S., North America, and I know you have headquarters over in Europe. Several offices in Switzerland, in the UK, and another location, if I'm not mistaken.
In France, yes.
In France. So, anyway, I may be tipping my hand, but Victor, I'll let you go.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Switzerland. I've been in the U.S. for 10 years, and as you said, I travel a lot. I go back and forth, you know, between Atlanta, the rest of the U.S., and Europe. And Dartfish is well known because you saw this special effect on TV where, you know, you have two ski racers or at the NFL Combine, two athletes overlaid on top of each other. But Dartfish is, you know, a few numbers, 500 medals at the last two Olympics were won by Dartfish users. So what we offer is basically we are a video solutions company. Mm-hmm. I like to say we are a video-centric company. And when you're a sports team or an organization, you want to, you know, work with video. And we allow people to capture video, enrich video, and communicate with video better. So we have software solutions, we have apps, and we have a cloud solution that we call Dartfish TV.
Mm-hmm.
A few words that, you know, that's what we do.
And I think it's humble because I think about, too, and you had said something off the air, which I thought was really insightful, was people, 65% of the learners out there are visual learners, and particularly
yes.
in the sports world. And you think about them, they're kinesthetic, they're actually physically using their body. But yet they learn, their coaches are giving them coaching verbally.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just that, an interesting, and you bridge that gap. Really.
Yeah, it is changing. I'm glad it does. But at the very beginning of Dartfish, you know, people were solely focused on verbal feedback. I mean, you have three types of feedback. You have kinesthetic is, I feel I did something, either as a team member or, you know, as an individual athlete. And then you have the verbal feedback, the coach telling you, you did this and you did that. And very often, you know, you see the athletes looking at the coach and say, I did not. So there are arguments. If I can show you, and you learn much quicker. So you improve performance and you reduce the learning time. And that's where we bridge the gap. So we are bringing visual tools based on video to allow a better communication.
and I still go back to, I think that the and your technology is and not, I don't want you to be humble here. This is some sexy, cool technology. Besides your voice, brother, you know, that's just
thank you. Good.
But it's the technology, because your technology is Emmy Award winning technology.
Yes, it is.
Literally. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, we don't have it here today, but we'll see if we can get that picture of you with it, or the Emmy Award, which you let me take a picture of. It'll actually let me hold, so that's kind of cool. And I think the first time I was introduced to, you know, I watch skiing. I'm one of those anomalies here. I'm from, you know, the Northeast, so I watch skiing. And that's not a big, you know, NASCAR's big down here, Greg, you know.
Yes, it is.
And so I'm watching skiing, and all of a sudden I remember when they overlaid those two skiers, and you can see them choosing different routes, the difference between the gold medalist and the silver medalist in that particular racing event. And I was like, wow, that's some really cool technology. You know, you never see that it's Darkfish, and I think it was probably all of maybe a month, 2 months later, we met and we're talking about it. Well, you know that stuff that happened on the Olympics when you see this overlay of the skiers? And I was like, oh, yeah, well, that's me. I said, cool. So that was kind of an aha. That's some really cool technology.
Well, the technology, not the skier.
Yeah, I forgot about the skiers at that point.
When I said, well, that's me, I said, about
yeah,
the technology.
I got you. All right.
Good. Well, Victor, you know, when I actually went and took a look at Victor's site, it's extremely impressive technology solution which you guys are offering. But it reminded me of, sadly, I was in a golf tournament maybe a couple of years ago, and one of the things they did was had a crew filming your golf swing so that you could review it with the coach later. And it made a dramatic difference for me to be able to see how I was swinging, and to have the golf instructor say, you know what, here's where you went wrong, and stop it, you know, sort of frame freeze frame the various points in my swing. It was dramatic. And I'm also reminded of what is it, the speaking course, Toastmasters. We've all kind of heard about Toastmasters. One of the things they'll do in Toastmasters is actually video you speaking in front of a group so that you can see yourself, your mannerisms, your tics, you know, the number of times you say ah. And it's just amazing how much you learn by watching yourself or watching someone else. So that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's good technology. Video-centric. We like that.
Video-centric.
All right. Mr. Kearney.
Yes, sir.
If you would share with us who you are and your background.
Well, I'm not as my hometown is here in Atlanta. I've been here for 20 years. I'm a partner with the Hero Group. We focus on sales operations, and sales effectiveness. You know, live in Henry County, four kids, wife, and
Henry County, isn't it?
That's right
by the Florida line.
Just by the line. Yeah. You know, I had to gas up twice to get to your studio today, just so that you know where we're doing the reimbursement forms. But no, that's I'm not entirely far away. My background, I'm a recovering CPA, so I started out my career professional services. I was at Arthur Andersen for about 10 years before the Enron iceberg hit, and then I went over to Deloitte, where I was a senior manager there, focused largely on sales and business development and growing the Deloitte business, and took a vice president of sales position with an international company based in South Africa. But for the last 5 years, I was with CNN as the director of sales for their content licensing division. So my job was to kind of come in and streamline, turn around the organization, move it from a reactively based sales organization to a proactively based sales organization. So it was an entire sales transformation experience. And I just got so much experience from that I just started. We started the Hero Group about 4 years ago, but just went out and started doing it full time just about 3 or 4 months ago. So the marketplace has raised a lot of sales opportunities in the marketplace. Businesses are appreciating the value of a sales organization that's effective, that
absolutely
can help help deliver. I mean, you take it, can't take that lightly. So there's my elevator pitch.
Interesting. So, and I think about, but that's interesting, taking CNN and moving them from being, you know, reactionary to proactive. You would think that, you know, CNN, you know, the leader in so many things would be more proactive anyway. But
you know, that's a really interesting point, Steve. Great point. And nothing breeds failure like success. When you're that good, you kind of just expect to be good. And that was one of the challenges we had to work through. You know, if you see something on CNN, the phone just rings. Hey, I saw it on CNN. I want it. So you just answer the phone. Do you want fries with that? Well, the idea is, how do we push that content? So we can answer the phone. Let's answer the phone and still take those incoming calls.
Sure.
But let's figure out a way to grow the business proactively. How do we push that content into new channels? How do we sell more to existing customers?
Yeah.
So it was really taking that angle and saying, hey, we can make a good thing great.
Good.
Sounds like a book. Idea. From good to great. I better write that down.
Yeah. I might have remembered it. Change the name to protect the innocent. So, good. So, again, Atlanta Sales Talk Radio, we talk sales. We hear about, Greg, how you're actually utilizing, helping organizations get more effective in their selling approach. And, Victor, I think about Dartfish and selling, the technology, and you're starting to get some traction, but selling it is... There is something that was on the website, and Greg pointed out a few minutes ago, was, you make the invisible visible. And I think that's a great sign. But, man, I can imagine that's got to be tough to sell. I mean, I'm selling paperware here.
Indeed. I mean, a lot of people look at Dartfish and what they see, and they're like, well, that must be extremely easy to sell. You don't sell technology. You know, that's the mistake you make when you're a young startup and you have a great technology and you believe that everybody's going to jump on it. Nobody can sell technology. You always have to answer an issue that somebody has, and you have to bring a solution. And we learn it, the hard way at the very beginning, because we try to push technology. And we learn that you have to identify what, your clients want. You have to understand their process. Mm-hmm. And then you can come with a solution. So, and it's harder when it's a disruptive technology. You know, again, when you people don't use video, and I'm speaking about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and you tell them, I have a great solution to help you with your videos. And then you realize that you have to tell them first, well, you may want to use video in your training process.
Right.
So that's now today, with the help of the YouTube, with the help of, the iPhones and all. I mean, everybody has got a video camera on them now. It's much, much easier to pass a message. So now we can really focus on how we can help them with what they do, within the process.
Makes sense, because, people in your particular space weren't waking up even 10 years ago. I'd imagine even probably to this day, they don't wake up saying, hey, I need Dartfish.
No.
No, that's not necessarily.
You wake up in the morning and you're hungry, so you know that you're going to eat. So if I sell bread, if I sell croissant, then, of course, I may, make a sale much quicker. People don't wake up in the morning say, I need Dartfish. So you have to tell them. And that's the reason why it's a consultative sales. You need to get people attention. And the Olympics help us. I mean, what you see on TV, because I get your attention. And then I can really focus the message on how I'm going to help your organization. And that's what good salespeople do. They really identify with the clients, with the partners, understanding their process, and work with them, in finding the solutions that we can.
That makes sense. And I think it's not unlike, Greg, you were describing, where, people were calling CNN. Hey, you want fries with that. I like the analogy. But at the same time, then you started to shift it to say, all right, how can we go out and help them understand they do need more of my syndicated, media?
Absolutely. And to Victor's point, you got to sell the content, right? And so to find out who your target market is and to know where to reach out and what is your customer or your client trying to fix, accomplish, or avoid, right? And how do you link your value proposition to what it is that their business objective? And so in Victor's case, it's like, okay, let me explain to you. And I'd be curious to hear your comments, Victor, on how do you link your solution to the bottom line? And that makes it so easy for us at CNN. One of the ways we were successful is to kind of go, we're going to help you with the credibility of your video. We sold on value, not on cost. And so that helped us leverage and maximize as much return on that investment in that particular customer as possible. So, be curious to know how you guys managed to link those two, to the bottom line. But clearly, even at CNN, this was a matter of, okay, how do I sell more to our existing customer? And one of the first things we did was expand the conversation. When that driver pulls up to your window and says, okay, I want a number one, and you say, do you want to supersize that? Mm-hmm. That should be the first question. So you want fries with that? Can I throw in an apple pie? So the real question is, okay, well, what are you going to eat tomorrow? How can I be prepared to help you? How can I offer you a discount to come back? I'll give you a discount card today to come back and see me tomorrow. So it's like encouraging more and more business. So it's really expanding the conversation, elevating the conversation, just kind of go, hey, let's fix your problem now in the short term, because that's what you called for. You're hungry now. Let's get you that croissant. Do you want grape jelly or honey? Mm-hmm. Right? And then after we do that, let's broaden the aperture and figure out how can we work with you more. Instead of reacting, how about I sell to you and how I can help your business? Because now you don't have to pay premium, because you want that footage today. Let me give you a real example, Steve. So you'll have somebody like a Michael Moore, Capitalism, A Love Story. He used lots of content that he sourced from lots of different places, you know, including CNN, ABC, NBC, AP, ITN, you name it. He would call and he'd say, okay, I need this clip of this particular senator saying this thing in this particular hearing. Well, we could provide that, but if you call me at Friday at 5 o'clock and you need that because you're in Final Cut and you need that by Monday, I may or may not be able to get that to you. So if we're able to open the aperture and have this conversation about your production needs, mm-hmm. about your upcoming needs in advance, mm-hmm. I can help deliver content to you. And maybe not just that one shot. Maybe I can give you 10 other shots to look at, 10 other senators saying things that are just as outrageous that might help you. So that improves the quality. So again, it's really just about broadening the conversation and understanding what your customers' objectives are.
I think it's a very good point. And, you know, we are working with several international federations. And, you know, it's the Wrestling Federation. We have mm-hmm. the Taekwondo Federations. And all of them have 10,000, 20,000 videos on Dartfish TV now. And fantastic video, you know, well tagged. You can look at, you know, any video very quickly and find what you are looking for. Some of them came to us with a very precise, you know, problem. One was video replay. We need to do video replay. That's the problem we have now. So you need to answer their needs and then you know, bring a much broader solution, as you were saying. Is fine, you know, we are going to help you with this, but what about then, you know, taking advantage of all the videos you're going to capture in any case mm-hmm. and publish them for your audience? And then, you know, now we are working on how are we going to monetize this content, you know, bringing it to the next level. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you know, what is important is answer the needs. You know, try to oversell the day one is always difficult because people have a need, and if you can answer and help them, you make their day, and then they're going to listen to you. So build this relationship, but then keep in mind that whatever you do now is going to help them for, you know, with a broader picture. Mm-hmm. So yes, mm-hmm. so that's a good point.
Increase the aperture, so to speak.
Yes,
absolutely.
Like yes.
Absolutely.
Well, let me bring the question from the other side of that equation that we always like to get to here on the show, because, you know, most people out there, I think, have a capacity to sell. If somebody called them up and said, I have a need, I'm hungry, I need to eat, and if I've got food, you kind of have to be a moron not to be able to sell that, right? Okay. Maybe you need some training on how to expand the aperture. I get that. But if you can't sell a hungry man a sandwich, you're a moron, right? Time to go get a job somewhere. But it's getting the guy who is just going down the street, not thinking about a sandwich, who's not hungry at all. He doesn't know necessarily he has that need. You know, I know, Greg, you started a consulting firm recently. You know, there's people out there I'm sure you could help. I'm sure they have a need. They don't know who you are. How do you get that initial conversation? How do you go to market and get that initial conversation so you can even discuss the need?
I come on this radio show. That's how I do it.
Ooh.
good answer.
Paid endorsement brought to you by.
We need a gong, I think. You know. Gong. All right. And that's from our sponsor.
No, but it's about when Victor says it's relationships. A lot of it starts with relationships. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we're here in Georgia. This is a very relationship-based town. It's not what you know, it's who you know. So start by making sure that, as Victor said, you know, satisfy your existing customers. They become your best referrals for more business. You know, what platforms are you using to push your presence and your value proposition to the marketplace? You know, you take advantage of many platforms. And I say that in all seriousness. With the radio show, with this kind of exposure, mm-hmm. I know it's going to be helpful. I push this out on my Twitter. I push this out on my Facebook. You know, so I'm taking advantage of this kind of platform to do that. So really, it's just getting in front of as many people as possible, but you start, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? One satisfied customer at a time. And then to your point, I actually went, and I'm going to leave the fast food establishment, it will remain nameless at this point, but I actually pulled away from a drive-thru because it was taking too long to get served. So when you talk about, yeah, I'm hungry, was that particular establishment a fool? Because they didn't feed me. I went across the street and got fed. So I like to call them the three C's: cost, content, and customer service. When you look at your business, when you look at what you're doing, I know that it'll resonate with Victor. What's the content? What's the nature of what you're trying to sell? What's the cost? And is it cost effective and not price prohibitive, mm-hmm. right? And then customer service, because I don't care how good it is or how good that croissant or that burger was. If I can't get it when I need it, I'm going someplace else. Mm-hmm. So I like to call those the three C's.
It's interesting that you brought up customer service and food because the three of us had lunch right prior to here and had an experience. First time in an establishment, had not ever been there before. Some confusion in communication from their staff, and ended up there was an upcharge for a fruit cup that was presented as if it were a no-charge side.
Interesting.
But instead of rectifying the situation in the customer's favor, especially considering it's a first-time customer, the manager chose to just simply explain policy about how it was an upcharge.
Wow.
So he got the buck and a half, but he lost the customer.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you guys are going back for dinner, right?
No, absolutely.
It was the low-hanging fruit in this case.
Low-hanging fruit cup.
Yeah, we got to get the gong.
And, you know what I find it really interesting, too, is that because this is really pissing Andy off. I got a $1.50 out of me, man. I'm just still pissed.
No, I'm not pissed at all, but I'm excited about it because see, that guy, he has no outlet. I get to come on the radio and tell a whole bunch. I get to tell everybody about my experience.
You know, to come back to what you said, Greg, is customer service. The best marketing tool we have is referrals. You know, you can put dollars into marketing and, you know, advertising and this and that, but really customer service, that's what works. You know, and in the world of social media, if you do a poor service, if you don't deliver, if you lie, you get it right away like a boomerang in no time.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the old days, even if you were in Georgia, you could hide it in Georgia. You can't anymore. Georgia is everywhere with the web.
Right,
you know?
It's true. And I mean, the whole idea around this socially meshed world that we're in, it's like the new marketing is customer service.
Yep.
If you had a bad experience at that fast food place, I mean, say you did get the food and it wasn't of quality or whatever you wanted, I want to let my tweeting audience know.
Oh, sure.
It was a bad experience.
Sure.
I mean, and brand, then we get into a whole conversation around brand, right? Because is the brand owned by Dartfish at this point? Well, I would say it is, but you think about Comcast. Now, Comcast had a bad experience with their brand several years back. It was, you know, Comcast has always known the cable company for never showing up on time, not being in place, and they had they tried to fix that. And one time they had if you actually tweet an issue with Comcast now, you're going to get a quicker response than you would if you picked up the phone and went through that whole customer service wait and pause and so on. But there's a whole bunch of interesting stories around how they had to address that.
So that was an issue where they responded appropriately, right?
Yes.
And to address the issue.
Yep.
I thought that was huge. When I took the role on, you know, again at CNN, we were overpriced. We were known as being overpriced. So one of the first things we had, and there was a bit of it, you know, CNN. You know, we're CNN. There's a little bit of air. Nothing breeds failure. Light success.
Like,
you know, you want something that you saw on Larry King? Well, we're the only place you can get it, so we'll charge you what we want. So one of the first things we had, and that was setting a bad reputation for us in the marketplace. One of the first things we had to do was kind of look at our pricing structure and make sure that we were managing the brand. And to your point, if you know you got a problem, don't put your head in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the heat. Deal with it.
Yep.
Right? Your customers will respect you more, you know, when you just put that on the table and say, I understand we've got a pricing issue. I'm here to fix it and make it happen.
Well, and it's, I think, you know, we're talking about customer service and we're talking about, you know, brand and perspective, and it's all tied to sales. And I just think about, you know, we think about sales as external, right? You're out selling your services, or CNN in the past, or selling Dartfish, and, you know, to whomever we're selling, our customers are. And then we talked about grabbing people's attention. But I think about, too, is, you know, coming on internally, you're going to have to shift. You're going to have to do some of the, is it easier to sell internally or easier to sell externally? What's your experience?
Wow.
Well, I want to ask
Victor
because Victor's a CEO.
Victor
so he's
is the decision
the
maker, so yes.
It really depends on your colleagues.
Okay, good.
You know, I mean, I would say everybody sells on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. You know, if you have a new idea and you discuss with your colleagues, it's a good idea. First, you have to sell it. You know, and we always believe at Dartfish that if it's not a good idea, and I mean, if you are trying to push an idea and your colleagues don't buy it, it must not be good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we work like this, you know. We always try to, you know, bounce and back, you know, ideas or, you know, issues that we may have. And if people don't buy it internally, don't try to sell it externally because it's not going to work. That's what we believe. So sales is everywhere, you know. It
Absolutely.
Can be you want to do a new PR, what do you think about this slogan? You know, and the person doing the PR is trying to sell you on it. So, yes.
Good point.
You know, and in your relationship on a daily basis with your spouse, is that not sales, you know? Yeah, so that might be even more difficult sometimes.
There's other ways I might describe it, but that's we'll go from there. So, Greg, but I think about, you know, particularly in CNN, I think, you know, Victor in Victor's world, he has colleagues, and, you know, you're going to be much more collaborative as a startup organization, even though you've been around for 10 years. You're not mm-hmm. a startup anymore. But, you know, you built the team. You were involved in helping building the organization. Mm-hmm. I think about a CNN who's kind of going to been around for a long time, going to be old school. They're used to doing it. They've been successful, as you said, mm-hmm. successful mm-hmm. can get into cause laziness.
Yep.
I imagine you have to have some interesting selling experiences
internally.
Well,
you know, that's a great question. And what's interesting is CNN started in CNN Image Source, the content licensing division. It's been around since 1980, since, you know, Ted started CNN. So younger than some of CNN's competitors who've been around a little bit longer. But the idea was how to reinvent CNN's go-to-market strategy. You know, mm-hmm. it's easy to see. We've always licensed the CNN brand, the Larry King, the Donna Summer shows up on the show, the Whitney Houston interviews, all these various, you know, we've licensed that kind of content for a long time. But it really speaks to, in terms of reinventing yourself from a go-to-market strategy perspective. And how do you sell that internally first and then externally? Here's an example. One of the things we were able to do is actually develop the first enhanced ebook, and that was done within the last 8 months at CNN. So imagine you're reading an ebook on your Nook, on your Zook, on your Vook, or whatever they're calling them these days, right? And you're reading your ebook, and you're able to get to a point in that book and press play. Well, we did one on the Gulf oil spill, where you're able to see, to read all of the CNN.com articles that had been chronologically put together in a compendium package, right? And then at various points during this enhanced, and enhanced means an ebook has video in it, during various points in this enhanced ebook, you're able to press play and see the president's response. You're able to press play and see the president of the oil company's response. Cool. You're able to press play and see the oil flowing into the Gulf. It's a really dramatic way to read and, mm-hmm. and to ingest information. Yeah. And it really resonated. It made sense. I pitched it internally to the C-suite at CNN, and we've started to build at least 25 to go to market. We were able to do that. So you talk about internally selling it and then putting it on the iTunes, putting it on Barnes & Noble, making it available to public libraries for research purposes. Can imagine all of the applications in the marketplace that resonated with it. And I'll add one more example to take us into higher education online learning spaces. Mm-hmm. It's CNN, creditable, objective, mm-hmm. Thorough reporting. Why wouldn't researchers and people in the educational space want to use it? So we partnered with McGraw-Hill, wouldn't mind me sharing their name, McGraw-Hill, as it's reinvented itself as a publishing company, wanted to be able to use video. So as it's teaching its criminal justice course and it wants to cover a particular case, well, now they've got video of the perp walk. They've got video of mm-hmm. the testimony. They've got video that they've now been able to incorporate into their historically just written 5-pound books and make it multimedia, and that boded mm-hmm. very well. So again, that was another example of here's a new way that we should take a new direction. How do we sell it internally? I mean, I had to get all the resources, which resources to go to. And you're right, if they don't buy into it internally, you can't get what you need to get it to market. I needed our IT group to be involved in helping download the content. I needed our editorial group to proofread the .com articles that went into the ebook. So I couldn't have done it in a vacuum. So it's knowing how to be politically astute enough to know who to reach out to. And if you don't know what you don't know, it's in the next row. Find somebody else that does and get that direction. And then that'll help you be successful in the marketplace.
If you don't know what you don't know, it's in the next row.
I got me through high school.
I like that. All right. Good. I'm still coming back. So I think, so you really, again, we talked about disruptive technology and selling disruptive technology. I mean, that's what you described, Greg, is a kind of a new thought, disruptive technology in the space. And so you had to sell it internally, and then you went out and put it in the marketplace. And I imagine it was probably a pretty sexy product, so you got some demand or some. Was it that hard to sell once it's been out there in the market?
You know what? One of the most important things was to have a beta product or a proof of concept. So one of the first things we had to do is even, you know, you look at how sexy it sounds, I had to put the ROI together around it. What's it going to cost us, you know, to put this this first package, and you can't go to market with one. There's a critical minimum you've got to have of at least 25. And you know, you can go onto the iTunes, and you'll see the CNN's ebooks. You'll see ABC's got them now. You know, ITN's got one now. So others have followed suit. But the first thing you had to do is have something that folks could look and touch and feel. It's one thing for me to get you excited just talking about it. But wow, here's the I brought my iPhone. Here, why don't you go ahead and press play or watch the ebook. And that sold itself. So in terms of getting it sold internally, I took some chances, you know, risk without reward, right? I took some risk and appreciated the reward. I went on and invested the internal dollars from my team to get the prototype developed, you know, at a cost-effective price, and then walked that product around to say, this is what I'm talking about. And that blew the doors off. So it helped people understand and see it.
But that's the long tail principle. Imagine that the same asset, within the same asset, every piece is important to somebody. You know, I was speaking about Darfish TV before with Taekwondo, where you have 15,000 videos, and you have somebody from Kazakhstan, you know, fighting somebody from Iraq, for instance. Mainstream media will never put that on the air because we have 24 hours that you can put on the air. This concept is really somebody will be interested in this little piece. So you have the same digital asset, and you can sell it maybe 1,000 times for $1 instead of selling it, you know, one time for $1,000. So you really make it live much longer. So that's really what we call, you know, the long tail.
The long tail.
Yeah, you know, that's the principle of what you did.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's extremely smart. And that's, you know, the web, you know, you can put everything on the web. It lasts very long, but people have to find it. So if I have an app, you make the solutions very easy. I'm doing a paper on, you know, the Gulf problem, and I can't find exactly what President Obama answered at that particular moment. My challenge is to find it. With these kind of apps, I find it in no time, and that's the beauty.
And using it for, I mean, I think the idea of the long tail, and also I think it's the, and then driving demand and making it easy and able to continue to live.
People have this
evergreen,
need.
Absolutely. Evergreen. Those are great things that just stay on the shelves and always have value.
Yeah.
Good. So I'm going to change gears a little bit. So now thinking about Victor as CEO, so you have had, and I'm sure that you've had, and you're building of prototypes, you've had to buy things, Greg, you know, at CNN, and being on the sales receptive, being on the buying side, what are some of the best, most interesting experiences that you've had, you know, when you're going and people are trying to sell you something, either in your core, it's your business at Dartfish, and or, you know, in your business career and or even personally, Greg? Thinking.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And I take sales calls. You know, I try to take a few a week because you always learn, you know, how people do it.
Absolutely.
And the first thing is, did they do their homework? You know, do they answer a need I may have? And, you know, I was telling you over lunch that I had an experience once. Somebody called me and said, hey, Victor, you know, I looked at Dartfish and I really have, I think we are a perfect fit for, you know, what you need. And I said, really, what did you look at and where is the fit? And then you hear some mumbling and, you know, then you cut it short. You understand that.
Yeah, so you call this bluff, so to speak.
A nice sentence, you know, the person must have read the book, you know, from good to great, do your homework, but then, you know, didn't do their homework. So.
Yeah.
However, you know, I always listen carefully when somebody has a solution saying, I understand, you know, your business, I understand your issues, and, you know, I believe we can help you. And then you listen. And then, of course, you know, you have always the pricing and, you know, the timing. Mm-hmm. If I buy something, do we have the time to implement now? You know, because sometimes you want it, but you don't have the resources to implement them. So. These are the, you know, these are the elements we look at.
Well, and I think too is that you do take some calls. You're not taking all the calls. What is the qualification for you to take some calls? I mean, if you're getting, you know, you're not taking them all. But what is it? The ones? Why do you take some versus others?
Yeah, that's a good question. We have good trained people who can filter. You know, and sometimes some salespeople are extremely good. You know, they are like, I need to speak to Victor. They don't say, you know, Mr. Bergenzoli. Some people try to call my cell phone directly. You know, so I'm very well organized, you know, with the LinkedIn. And so whoever I've met, when they call, I know who they are. Mm-hmm. But based on the organization, you know, sometimes because we're in the sports business, if somebody calls and they claim to be with the USTA, you know, I had somebody from the US Open trying to sell me some advertising, then I'm going to be more receptive.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones I'm always going to take are referrals. If somebody calls and says, so-and-so, you know, told me to call you, then mm-hmm. these ones I listen to.
Good. Yeah. No, that's spot on, yeah.
You know, my response to that would be, you know, first of all, do I have a need? But I look at it the same way I sell, I look to be sold to. Do I have a need, first of all, is going to mm-hmm. be the question. I think about specific examples of being sold. Recently at CNN, for example, you'll get someone that says, I want you to list CNN in this particular publication, letting folks know that you've got this content that it's available. One of the first things I would ask, what's the distribution? You know, who's seeing it? Are they my buyers? Is it my target demographic? If you don't understand our business, then you're not going to be able to answer those questions, and you certainly won't be able to answer, okay, well, you want $5,000 for 18 months. What should I expect to drive in terms of ROI from that investment? You should have a pretty good idea, or at least be able to take a swing at that answer from experience with similarly situated organizations or mm-hmm. other customers. You should have some sense for that. But like to Victor's point, do your homework. Know what my need, my business need might be. Or if you don't, then listen. Ask for it. Mm-hmm. You know, two people come and they come with, you know, call you and they got a chicken to sell. Well, I'm a vegetarian. So, you know, you got to understand who your audience is first, because then you end up shooting yourself in the foot and being behind the eight ball because you weren't prepared.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Or sell the chicken's eggs, either way.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
You know, being a good listener, you know, making sure that you're open and being responsive. You know, I think in this day and age, it's important to make sure people buy from people they like. You know, that's always been the case. Not mm-hmm. this day and age. It's always in every age. People will buy from people they like. So have you made an honest
and
genuine
trust, right?
A trust? Absolutely. Have you made a genuine attempt to connect with that person and show them that you're actually empathetic to where they are and want to help them, and that you're selling a solution? You know, not a product. You're solving a problem. That's kind of what you want mm-hmm. that person to walk away with.
I like that. I'm thinking, Andy, any thoughts? I see you.
Well, I'm just sitting here, you know, we're talking about how to expand the aperture and all of that, and I'm thinking, you know, we got a business right here, Steve. Greg's given so much great information today, and Victor as well. We're recording the show. I think we just package that and go sell it. You know, I can definitely underbid Greg with a recording with a recording of this training. Like, hey, you know, you can have him live and pay a lot of money, or hey, here's a recording, right?
That's right.
I'll sell it to you for half the price.
That's true. Half the price, maybe even less. All of our shows are available for download.
Gong.
<There you
go.
laughs> Thank you very much. All right. So as I'm thinking about this, and I think there's a lot of great information for the audience and for all our listeners, and I'm thinking about somebody that's new to sales, someone who might come up to you and get some counsel, as I set up early on, someone new coming to sales and saying, Greg, Victor, what's your counsel to me, you know, as I'm entering the world of sales? What might you share with someone coming into the world of sales today?
The first thing is passion. Hmm. Be passionate about what you're going to sell. You know, learn your product. You know, learn the solution, if it's not just a simple product. Learn it, you know, from A to Z. You have to master what you're going to sell. And really build passion, because everything being sold, answer needs, you know, to somebody and must mm-hmm. be exciting to somebody. Might be a croissant, might be dartfish.
Mm-hmm.
Dartfish is more exciting than croissant.
I would agree, yes.
I love croissant too. And the second thing is listen, you know. And then, as you said, you know, you need to be a nice person. You have to build relationship. Even if you don't know everything, but you are nice, friendly, listen to what people are telling you, you'll be able to sell. You know, it's about building a relationship. It's about building a trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the people, our best salespeople at Dartfish are people who really have been able to establish a relationship, to go over the board, you know, to say, I'm reaching out to you. I'm going to help you. I'm giving you a lot because I want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they win the sale. You know, if you're just trying to sell and then leave, I mean, we always say, you know, the sale starts when you've got the check in your hand. That's very important, is continue establishing this relationship, supporting your clients, building this trust.
Oh, I like that. The sale really begins after you get the check in your hand. I like that. It's very similar to something I say, which is, you know, instead of using the word closing a deal, use it, it's commencing a deal.
Yes.
All right? Because commencement means one stage is complete and the new stage is beginning.
Great
point. The commencement ceremony from college, from whatever
it
might be. Yeah. Because you're building, now you start the relationship, is what you were saying early on, to be successful in the sales process. But then coming back around to, now that we've done some business together, we're commencing a more, a deeper relationship.
Yes.
And massage that. I like that. The sale begins when the check is signed. That's
That's huge. You know, when you think about it, it's easier to sell to someone you've sold to before. You know?
That's true.
So when you think about, you know, most of our bread is buttered. It's classic 80-20 principle. You know, 80% of your revenue is going to come from 20% of your customers. Mm-hmm. You know, are you developing that customer with the intent to make that customer a repeat customer? You know, there will be, and I call them one-shot Shirley's. They're going to come, they're going to hit the radar screen, you're going to service them, and they're going to keep going. But you got to have that interface. To your question, Steve, when you ask about what would I say, first of all, do you like people? Because if you don't like people and you don't genuinely like helping people, people will see right through you like a transparency. Mm-hmm. You know, so you really have got to be, it's in your heart, do you like people? Do you like helping people? And once you do that, do you believe in what you're selling? You know, because people will see that. Are you a user? Or would you buy? I mean, are you genuinely supportive of the product and behind it? I think that's huge as well. Being intellectually honest. You know, if you don't know, say you don't know. Exactly. Don't try to sell someone. They'll ask you a question. If you don't have an answer, don't. You know, can I say bullshit here? You know, don't give them a BS answer because they'll see through that. They'll respect you more. They'll go, you know what? I don't know the answer to that question, but I will get back to you. And you make sure you do. So, again, making sure that you're genuine, making sure that it's really what you want to do in terms of helping people accomplish their objectives.
Yeah.
Good. And I think I'll come back to is listening. You had said, and we've heard that several times throughout the show today. But to a certain extent, you hear listening is kind of, it's almost trite now, right? So you got to listen. So what does that really mean, listen? I mean,
usually when you meet people, they're going to be very open about the challenges they are facing, either in their private life or in the business life. And when something is burning, they want to say it out. Andy spoke about his fruit salad, you know, at the lunch because he wanted to come out. And that's where you can really pick where you can help. Sometimes you cannot help. Mm-hmm. But if you can help, you know, like a Dartfish, if a coach comes and says, you know, I really have a problem. I don't have the time to do this and to film and then to organize my videos. You pick up this sentence because you spent 80% of your time listening. Then you can come up with an answer. Hey, I heard you saying that. What if I had a solution where you would have the time, where, you know, it would not be too expensive? You know, then you, that's what listening is all about, is really identifying, you know, the needs you can answer.
Good. I like that.
Well, I'll add something there. I mean, since we've we've relished this fruit salad thing quite a bit.
Let's milk it some
more. Yeah, let's milk it some more. You know, I think listening really comes down, and you guys can back me up on this, I believe, is hearing the real question, not the question that's being asked. When I was talking to this manager at that restaurant, what I was saying to him was, do something to make me feel better about what I feel like was a disservice. I feel like I was duped here. Do something to make me feel better about it. Now, that's not what I said to him. What I said to him was, you know, I'm not going to make you re-ring this thing because I already run my card. I said, I'm not going to make you ring it up again. I said, but just so you know, you know, I wasn't told that this was an upcharge, right? So he went with that. Mm-hmm. He wasn't listening. He heard me because he responded to that. But he didn't hear what I was really asking because I took three shots at him. And he never once offered to do anything to say, you know what, there was a mistake. Why don't we make that right and make you feel better so you come back?
Mm-hmm. That's a classic example of, you know, he had his answer before you asked the question.
Correct.
So he knew, you know, how many ways you posed it, or how many, he knew what he was going to say. That wasn't going to change.
So that's not listening.
Yeah, convince a man against his will, he'll be of the same opinion still.
Yes.
That's what I like to say. So that person had his mind made up which direction he was going to go into. And the interestingly for me, listening, if you think about all educated guys sitting around this table, right, all the education we've received, how many actual courses have you ever received on listening? You know, we're taught how to read, we're taught how to write, we're taught how to speak. But how many courses have you had on listening?
I've had one. I'm married.
That's the school of hard knocks, baby. School of
I've had, yeah, well, and I'm married to a psychotherapist.
So there you go. Listening is a choice. It's a skill. Most people aren't listening.
I think
listening.
You said that right there. I'm going right to just have it's okay. A skill.
It's a skill. Yeah.
And okay. A skill, and I think listening in of itself is one thing, but I think Andy hit it on the nail on the head is that he heard what he said, but he didn't really hear him. You know, mm-hmm. Almost listening Absolutely. To that, well, here's what's being said behind what I said. Mm-hmm. That's where I was digging into that listening mm-hmm. comment, Victor, because I really think that listening, we don't emphasize it enough when I think, and it's such a skill that I think it can get lost in this socially meshed, so much information coming at you mm-hmm. world today. I think it's a growing opportunity.
You know, and if you're so anxious to sell something, you got to just be quiet and listen. And you know, you can't always sell. You got to be quiet. You know, and that listening allows you to kind of go, you know, they know you're there to sell them. You know,
yeah.
They know what you're there to push, the product you're trying to peddle. You know, but listening to them and saying, okay, I want to hear where you're coming from, you know, and meet someone where they are versus coming and saying, hey, I got this great thing. You haven't even heard what I need. You know, listen yeah. first. Seek ye first, right? To
Absolutely.
Understand.
Absolutely. Seek
right?
ye first to understand.
We've heard that.
Amen.
Right.
Preach, Greg.
Amen.
Preach.
Hello,
right.
brother.
Teach.
Brother.
All right. Hallelujah. All right.
I'm going to go ahead and pass the collection plate now.
There you go.
There's a change.
What did you say?
All right. Well, I think this, gentlemen, I think it was a great show. We had some really good insights. I hope the audience has been able to tune in. And if you've been listening, please give us a comment around, you know, the show. And Greg, if someone wanted to reach out and get more information from you, how about best
Absolutely.
To reach you?
I'm Greg, G-R-E-G-G, Kearney, K-E-A-R-N-E-Y. I'm on LinkedIn. Find me there. I love friends. I'll take you into my network so you can reach out to me that way. You can call us directly at 404-821-1317, 404-821-1317.
Outstanding. Okay. And Dartfish, how can we get to Dartfish?
No, Victor, V-I-C-T-O-R, Bergonzoli, B-E-R-G-O-N-Z-O-L-I, and I'm on LinkedIn too. So
good.
Link me in and... You know, I'll be happy to help you.
And then dartfish.com.
And listen to you. And of course, dartfish.com or dartfish.tv.
Victor, any ETA on the mobile app?
That's going to come soon, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So as a little sidebar, we were talking about mm-hmm. the mobile app for it fits on the iPhone and I think Android soon, where you can actually video yourself and then make some connotations for the individual to be able to...
Give a quick feedback and you know, yeah. and then upload to Dartfish TV to share what you have. Yes.
Good. We'll have some more information on the site on that one. Okay. All right. Thanks Andy, any last parting comments?
No, I think this has been a great show as always, and I really appreciate you guys giving some real information. I think a lot of people out there are looking for real information. I did a keynote yesterday, and I had somebody come up to me after and say it was really nice not to just hear the same old rhetoric that we always hear at these things. And I appreciate you guys delivering some things today that I felt like were valuable.
Thank you. Yeah, good. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, this is Steve Cadley. And remember, as we were reminded today, everybody's in sales. So till next time we connect, happy selling.